All right. Thank you all once more for coming to Youth Sunday. I feel this is a great way for kids to show the desire to serve God. The lesson I'll be giving is on trying to find solace and comfort in your present problems by knowing the things that God has done for you in the past. This is never an easy thing to do, but I still feel that this is an important topic to speak on today. I encourage you all to turn to Numbers 13, 26, 33. There are Bibles in your pews, and it'll also be on the screen behind me. As you turn there, I'd like to give some background. This passage is about the report of the spies that the Israelites give when they come back from scouting out the land of Canaan. But this is not where Israel began. Some background on Israel is Israel was truly a blessed nation, more than people realize at times, because they were God's chosen people. God picked them out of any other nation to be led to his promised land and for their descendant to be the one that saves the world, Jesus Christ. It's quite an honor. And they also got to see God's power along with that. But Israel did not always feel blessed. And life was not perfect for them. They still had struggles, just like everyone else. There's a time in Israelites' history where they were held captive by Egypt. And they were slaves. They were not treated well, and they were oppressed by the Egyptians. And this happened for quite a long time, until God stepped in and helped them and led them out of Egypt, and they fled. They had been freed from Egyptian grasp, but they were not yet where God wanted them to go. So God had to lead them through the wilderness into his promised land. And along the way, the Israelites failed, and they made quite a few mistakes. This shows that they're human. They're not chosen because of their human talents or their own self-righteousness, but because God is full of grace and mercy. But eventually they made it to Canaan, which is part of the promised land that God was going to give them, and they sent in spies to scout out that land. And they come back with this report. And starting in verse 26, "Now they departed and came back to Moses and Aaron and all the congregation of the children of Israel in the wilderness of Paran at Kadesh. They brought back word to them and to all the congregation and showed them the fruit of the land. Then they told him and said, 'We went to the land where you sent us, and it truly flows with milk and honey, and this is its fruit. Nevertheless, the people who dwell in the land are strong. The cities are fortified and very large. Moreover, we saw the descendants of Anak there. The Amalekites dwell in the land of the south. The Hittites, the Jebusites, and the Amorites dwell in the mountains, and the Canaanites dwell by the sea and along the banks of the Jordan.' Then Caleb quieted the people before Moses and said, 'Let us go up at once and take possession, for we are well able to overcome it.' But the men who had gone up with him said, 'We are not able to go up against the people, for they are stronger than we.' And they gave the children of Israel a bad report of the land which they had spied out, saying, 'The land through which we have gone as spies is a land that devours its inhabitants, and all the people whom we saw in it are men of great stature. There we saw the giants, the descendants of Anak, come from the giants, and we were like grasshoppers in our own sight, and so we were in their sight.'" So I'd like to start off with some information about what I think this passage means, and then I'm going to talk a little bit about some ways to apply it to everyday life. This report started off very good. Israel came back from scouting out the land, and they said that this land was great, and that God was right, that this land flows with milk and honey, and it has great fruit, that God led us to the right spot. This shows that the place where God leaded them, or led them, is the place that he meant to, that this was the prescribed area where God wanted them to be. Nevertheless, now I'm reading from the New King James Version, so yours might say a different word there, but it still brings about the same meaning. Nevertheless, it's a contracting word. The Israelites were not content with the good parts of the land. They were nitpicky, and they noticed the struggles that came with the reward. Then, in Numbers 13:31, they said, "We are not able to go up against the people, for they are stronger than we." They're saying we can't do this. They're saying, "God, we know you led us to this land, but we can't go any further because of our own physical disability, that we can't take on this struggle." And they're absolutely right. They're absolutely right because there is no chance that they have against these giants, against these fortified cities alone. The thing is, they're not alone. They have never been alone. And they've seen God's power in the past. They have the God of Israel to help them. They forgot the God who had led them here and had helped them in the past. They also forgot that this was no surprise to God. God did not lead them through the wilderness to Canaan and then, turn around, there's a giant there. Kind of forgot I put those there. It didn't work that way. God knew there was a giant there. God didn't need a backup plan like Israel thought he did. You know, just like the Israelites, we struggle with our own faith. Oftentimes, we focus too much on our current problems and lose sight of the past times that God has blessed us. And this leads me to the first thing that I'd like to talk about, remembering the past blessings. Like I said earlier, Israel truly was a blessed nation. They saw God's power on numerous occasions and countless times. We'll talk about some of these today, but these aren't all of them. Remember that. In Exodus 7 through 12, God had the plagues. Oftentimes, plagues are not seen as blessings, but rather as curses. But to Israel, they were blessings because they led them out of Egypt and freed them. After they were freed from Egyptian grasp, they hadn't made it out of Egypt yet, and they had a pretty big problem ahead of them, like Red Sea-sized problem. They couldn't cross it on their own. And they said, God, why did you lead us out here to die? And in Exodus 14, 27 to 29, God showed them that he did not. And he parted the water for them, and he led Israel through and then closed that water back on the Egyptians. So Israel is free now, but they hadn't made it to the promised land yet. They had to travel quite a bit, and they were hungry. They didn't have enough food. And they said, once again, God, why did you lead us out here to die? God says, I didn't lead you out here to die. Here's food, and he gives them manna, which is bread from heaven. This means that every morning when they woke up, they saw bread as if it was dew all around them, enough to feed an entire village of Israelites. This was in Exodus 16:8. They had to rely on God every day to resupply that bread. Then in Exodus 17:5-6, they ran out of water. And they said, God, why did you bring us out here to die? You're starting to notice a pattern here. God once again showed them he did not bring them out here to die, and he made water come forth from a rock in verses 5 through 6. And this is often not thought of as possible to our everyday mind, but to God it always is, because these are all miracles. Nothing's impossible with the help of God. Then the Israelites also forgot the whole way they were led to Canaan to begin with. In Numbers 9:15-6, it shows that they were led by a cloud in the day and a pillar of fire at night. That means every night as they were traveling, they saw a giant pillar of fire in the sky showing them the direction to go. Kind of like a GPS. But it's a little more important than a GPS and a little more meaningful because every day Israel saw it. Just as with the manna, they had to rely on God every single day to guide them. And yet somehow, whenever they came to the next struggle, they didn't rely on God. They so easily forgot the God who had helped them in their past trouble, and they had no faith that God had the power to save them from their current trouble. This is often a thing of today, as people focus too much on their own physical powers and abilities to solve their own problems, just as Israel did, thinking it was not possible to cross the Red Sea, thinking it was not possible to get enough food to feed the Israelites, and thinking it was not possible to get enough water. But everything's possible through God. God has no limits. In Joshua 4, we won't be reading this today, but I encourage you all to read this. It's the story of the memorial stones. Once again, God parted the water for Israel, and he led them across on dry land, but this time with Joshua, not Moses. And he instructed him a little bit different. He said, Joshua, as you cross, I want you to pick up 12 stones from the dry land that was once covered in water. And I want you to place them in the camp where you go. And these will serve as memorial stones. Now, I have to give credit to my dad on this part, is he taught this lesson at the church that I go to, and this kind of stuck with me. I think it was a very important part, is you have to remember or have some physical evidence that you can remember for what God has done for you, that you can look back on in times of need, just as the Israelites had the memorial stones at camp. They could also show this to later generations as proof of what God has done for them. Each and every one of us have proof of what God has done for us in our life, whether that be big or small. God has blessed us in our own ways. The song I played for you earlier has the line, "Remember the works his hands have done, where you once were, and how far you have come." That's why I played the song. We have to remember what God has done for us in our own life. And this will help us with our current problems. And that brings me to my second point, is how to use those memories in the present. You see, Israel should have trusted God to get them through their issue of the giants and the fortified cities because they have seen God's power on numerous occasions. They should have known what God could do. In verse 33, the Numbers 13:33, it says, "There we saw the giants, the descendants of Anak, come from the giants, and we were like grasshoppers in our own sight, and so we were in their sight." This is a very sad portion of it, the story, because the Israelites so easily focused on what they looked like from the eyes of their problems, not what their problems looked like from the eyes of the God that they serve. Each and every one of the problems in all of our lives can be overcome by the God that we serve, the Lord God Almighty. It doesn't matter whether that problem is big or small either. See, God is powerful enough to handle the biggest life-changing problems that occur in our lives, but he's also caring enough to handle the little ones of every day. We have to show everyday reliance on God and all that he does for us. This will help us to remember what God has done for us in the past as well. This is a problem to many people, including teenagers, because we get caught up with one problem, whether that be a test or whether that be a competition in extracurricular, and we think that that decides our future. And it doesn't. God decides our future. We lose sight of the big picture too often. That brings me to my final point, looking to the future. See, we have to trust God enough to stay on his path every way that it goes. And whatever we do, we can't lose faith. Because God sees the big picture even when we cannot. Oftentimes this is like a puzzle. We might see the individual pieces but not have the box to understand how all those pieces fit together. But we don't have to. We don't have to understand the whole plan. We just have to trust that God will place the pieces where he needs to and guide us to his final plan. In Proverbs 4:26 and 27, it says, "Ponder the path of your feet, and let all your ways be established. Do not turn to the right or the left, and remove your foot from evil." It talks about this many times in the Bible, in different ways, but all the same message, the path of righteousness. God has a path of righteousness for us, and it's our job not to stray from it. You see, if we turn even the slightest bit to the right or to the left of God's path, we're in the gray area and we move to sin. It's black and white. There's no way to control it. We can get back on God's path through the forgiveness of Jesus Christ, but we still want to stay on God's path as long as we can. There's a song called "Hills and Valleys" by Torrin Wells, and it talks about living life through the good times and the bad times. And we'll always have good times and bad times. There's no way to avoid it. You can do everything right and everything righteous, and you're still going to have bad times in life. It's because it's life, and it's a broken world. But the path of righteousness is not always flat. As it talks about here, you cannot turn from the right or the left, but it never says that it'll be flat. We'll always have ups and downs in our life. But as long as we follow God, we will end up where we need to. We just have to stay on God's path. We have to trust that he'll handle the future, even when we cannot see that far. Remember the hills, the good times in life, so that we can come to the valleys, the bad times, you can look back and know that God will walk you to the next good time. As I close out my message for today, I encourage you all to be thankful. We celebrated a holiday, Thanksgiving, and we're thankful for the great meal and thankful for the family. But we also have to be remembering that we're thankful for God. And this should not be something done just on Thanksgiving. This should be an everyday thing, that we can look back and remember what God has done for us in our life and thank Him for His power. I have a challenge statement behind me, and I encourage you all to remember what God has done for you in the past, to trust Him to get you through your present problems, and rely on Him to guide your future. Thank you.